speaking on is that the Shamesh, the servant of the living God. And let us begin there now. And Father, I just come before you and I ask, oh God, that you, I know you're going to anoint your word. Your word is always anointed. But the commentary that comes from these lips sometimes isn't right. And I pray right now that that holy angel will descend before the altar in heaven, take that coal and place it upon these lips, that these lips may be purified and made holy, O God, that the words that proceed from these lips will be glorifying and edifying to the body of Messiah. I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. This is Shamesh 8, part 3. Adonai Yeshua, Adonai, our Abba's servant. It's a series of intimate encounters with Yeshua, our salvation, in the Tanakh. And some of you may say, well, why are you always in the Tanakh? Well, if you look at the body of Messiah, they've always been in the Tanakh. It was 30 plus years before the first gospel book was written down. So what happened then in Upper Room, when they were all in one accord, and praying, as that brother shared, the power of the body is in prayer, seeking after God's face, dying to our flesh, and allowing our spirit, men and women, to be alive. And to recognize when the spirit, man and woman, is alive in us and to rejoice therein. Praise be to his name. Theophany, it's a Greek word. It is an appearance by God, Adonai Yeshua, taking some human form, usually a human form, in order to be visible form to human beings. Elohim, God plural, Adonai Yeshua, took visible form to walk with our father Adam and Hava, life, our mother Eve, because she was the mother of all the living in the Garden of Eden, Eden. Shamesh is a servant, a deacon, an attendant in the synagogue or within Messiah's community. It is to be oneself, to be ready for service, to wait on Adonai. Rabbi called me this week and he said, Frank, you're speaking this week. Praise God. I'm prepared. Just as you're going to be prepared when the Lord calls upon you. And you know what? If he doesn't give you anything, walk before the Lord, stand before the microphone, stand before the people and open up your mouth. And he will fill your mouth on what to say.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Yeshua is our example in Yohanan, John 13, 1 through 12. Yeshua declared, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what sister was sharing earlier about God meeting with them and dining with them and fellowshipping with them and them seeing him face to face and recognize who he is, not just his appearance, but his personality and character. Amen. It's here. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now let us turn to the book of Messianic Jews. That's the book of Hebrews. We're going to begin at chapter 2 and beginning at verse 9. I love that name, Messianic Jews. Praise God. Fulfilled, called out, sanctified, and perfected. That was God's plan, and that's great. I wrote down some of the page numbers in here, so on. If you're in your complete Jewish Bible, let's turn to page 1494.
Thank you, brother.
I'm not saying that's the only word of God that you can follow and read, but that's the series that the Lord has said for I'm to obey him. And we're in Messianic Jews chapter 2, verse 9. And I'll get caught up with you here in a second. Page 1494 in the complete Jewish Bible. You know, it's great having so many different Bibles and translations because we read and we read and we read and we think, oh, I got it all. But you know what? We don't. I pray every time that when I open up God's Word that he'll open up my eyes, open up my heart, and open up my understanding that I'll get a new revelation of what is already written there. Because where I was 20, 30 years ago in the Lord is a different place than I am today. Praise be to his name. Let us begin. Chapter 2, verse 9. But we do see Yeshua, who is indeed was made a little while lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by God's grace he might taste death for all humanity. For in bringing many sons and daughters, I'm adding the daughters here, to glory, it was fitting that God, the Creator, the Preserver of everything, should bring the initiator, Yeshua, of their deliverance to the goal through suffering. He had to suffer on our behalf. There was no way around it. But what was produced out of his suffering? Our redemption and a deeper love for us. In that he became a human being, the God of the universe. He was faced every trial, every tribulation that we will ever face and beyond. And he was more than a conqueror. He was an overcomer. And he was the one to show us the way to salvation in and through him and through no one else. There's no other plan. For both Yeshua, who sets people apart for God, no one comes to the Father except through him. There's no other way. None whatsoever. Hasatan tries to come up with a brand new religion all the time. It's just all the same old lies. And the ones being set apart have a common origin. This is why he is not ashamed to call them his brothers, and I'm adding his sisters, when he says, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation, and I will sing your praise. Also, I will put my trust in him. Then he goes on, here I am along with the children God has given me. Therefore, since children share a common physical nature as human beings, he became like them and shared the same human nature, so that by his death, he might render ineffective the one who had the power over death. And that is the adversary, our only true enemy. Not one other human being on the face of this earth is our enemy. They are deceived if they raise their hand against you or speak against you. Our enemy is the adversary, Hasatan. The father of lies, the father of all rebellion. And thus set free those who had been in bondage all their lives because of the fear of death. Because of our sin of our mom and dad, Adam and Hava, death came into this earth. Our parents were to be what? They were to be those who ate the grains and the fruits of the trees. I don't read anywhere in Scripture that Adam was out on the side of the lake or the river fishing. Was he? No. They weren't having barbecues. No. But God's provision that in the garden that there would be life. Let's continue. Verse 16, indeed, it was obvious that he does not take hold of angels to help them. There's not a redemption plan for angels. Otherwise, there'd be a redemption plan for Hasatan, and there is none. In full knowledge, Hasatan said, I will raise up my throne in the north of heaven. And one third of all the angels who saw God face to face, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Ruach, those three personalities, they rebelled in full knowledge of what they were doing. Let's continue. On the contrary, he takes hold of the seed of Avraham. Who is that? You and I, whether you be a Jew or a Gentile. If you're a believer in Messiah, you're here. You're of the seed of Avraham, who was once a Gentile, At the age of 99 or 100, he became circumcised and he became a Jew. That's what the scripture says. How many times have we read it, but we haven't seen it? He made a new nation from our father Abraham. Let's continue. This is why he came. This is why he had to come like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful Kohen Gadol, high priest, in the service of God, making kapora for the sins of the people. For since he himself suffered death, when he was put to test, he was able to help those who are being tested now. We're being tested right now. Every day is a day of salvation for us. We are to cleave to him. Because you know what's going to be happening? We've been hearing prophecy about God's Spirit being poured out in revival. But there's also going to be a great falling away. And those who are believers who have that same full knowledge of who God is and knowing his presence shall reject him of their own choice. Rav Shaul said this, work out your salvation with what? With fear and trembling. Not terrified that someone's going to rob it from you. No one can snatch us from the palm of God's hands whose his name is inscribed upon his hands. But we can reject him. And just as the sister shared about the garden today, are we allowing those weeds to come? Those weeds of rejection of Yeshua in our lives? Or are we allowing the Ruach to come and say, Frank, there's a huge weed right here that you've allowed for years, this little God with a little G that you've allowed in your life. I want you to go over to that God right now, Frank. Take it and smash it. Just as our Torah portion here dealt with what? Tearing down those pillars of those false gods. We're to serve the one true living God. As a brother shared in his prophecy, no hypocrisy. We're called to be walking in holiness and purity. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I believe Yeshua right now is separating his sheep and goats in the body of Messiah. And those who want to remain as goats shall remain as goats. And they will stand before him one day and say, we did all these things in your name, Lord. And what did he say? Depart from me. For you workers of iniquity, thank you, Rabbi. It's great to have him up here. For you workers of iniquity, for I did not know you. That's what's coming. Don't be afraid. Walk in fear of the Lord in his presence. If you're not spending time during the week listening to godly teaching and worship and praise, you're allowing weeds and false gods to be placed in your life. Let the Ruach search out your heart and your mind and have all these things removed. God's going to shake his congregation. And you know what's going to be beautiful? That those who are seeking after the one true God will see his sons and daughters shining bright as the sun, because it's not our appearance or our wealth, but the very presence of God, his glory being manifest in our life, that's going to draw people. They're going to see what is real and what is not real. There are congregations out there that go through the motions and they're completely dead. They're full of old dead men's bones. Let's continue here now. The kapara, he made atonement and forgiveness. He made a pardon for us. Now let us turn to the book of Job. If you're in your complete Jewish Bible, that's going to be page 993. And we're going to begin in chapter 1. Who was Job? He was a Gentile. He was a righteous Gentile. Amen. There are righteous Gentiles throughout Scripture. So some of you who are come from a Gentile background, you think, well, what am I doing here? You're here because you are a child of Abraham. You've been grafted in. You're co-equal, co-heir in Messiah. There is no distinction between Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free. We are all in one in Messiah. And that is what the one new man is all about.
Amen.
Let me get caught up with you. Page 993 in the Complete Jewish Bible. In beginning of verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And this man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 pairs of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, as well as a great number of servants, so that he was the wealthiest man in the East. It was the custom of his sons to give banquets, each on his set day in his own house. They invited their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. After a cycle of banquets, Job would send for them to come and to be consecrated. Then he would get up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings for each of them. A righteous Gentile, a high priest of his household. Because Job said, my sons might have sinned and blasphemed God in their thoughts. And this is what Job did every time. It's something he practiced. I wonder who he learned that from. See this book before you? During Job's lifetime, it was not written. The Tanakh was not written. So where did he get this revelation? He got it from his father's 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 father, etc., to Adam, who told him about a promised one yet to come. And Job believed upon that promise. Let's continue now. Verse 6. It happened one day when the sons of God came to serve Adonai, and among them came the adversary, Hebrew Hasatan, and asked the Adonai asked the adversary, where are you coming from? The adversary answered Adonai, from roaming through the earth, wandering from here and there. Adonai asked the adversary, do you notice my servant Job? That there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns all evil. The adversary answered Adonai, it is for nothing that Job fears God, loves, honor, adores God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. I added that. You've put a protective hedge around him. You ever wonder why people pray about putting hedges around one another? That's where we got it from. His house and everything he has. And you prospered his work, and his livestock are spread out all over the land. But if you reach out your hand and touch whatever he has, without a doubt, he will curse you to your face. That's what the adversary said. So what did we read earlier today about in our Torah portion? Here are men who are coming before Yeshua and seeing him face to face. What does the adversary say here? He says this. If you will touch these things in Job's life, he will curse you to your face. To whose face? To the God, to the one he's the promised one that he believes in. Have you read this before? And yet our eyes were not open. Our ears were not unstopped. Our hearts did not fill with the understanding of God's word. I've read this many times before. And I missed it. I'm confessing that to you right now. Let us continue. And it goes on to say, Adonai said to the adversary, here. To whom? To Hasatan. Everything that he has is in your hands. Trials and tribulations the Lord allows in our lives. That what? That our faith may be perfected in what? Our stuff on this earth? That one day, as Kepha, Peter said, is going to all be consumed by fire? Our faith is to be perfected in him and his promises. Except that you're not to lay a finger on his person. Think about that. That word is saying there, you're not supposed to cause him to die. But everything else is open. His wife and his children are open. When I first read this as a believer, I thought, I don't know if I really want to live and serve the one true and living God, if he's allowing this to happen in the very beginning of this book. Because I had a revelation of a child, a 12-year-old. Let's continue. Then the adversary went out from the presence of Adonai. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we think, well, if we can just get our family member to come to the congregation and see the presence of the Lord, they shall be saved. Here's an adversary for centuries, before time even began, knew God, the Father, the Son, and the Ruach, had spent time in the presence, the highest of all the cherubims. He wasn't second class to anyone. And yet the very presence of God meant nothing to him. That's what the adversary is. There are two camps. There's either the Lord's camp or the adversary's camp. All these other false religions out there, they're all lies. They're all created by Hasatan. Deception, lies, something brand new. It's all the old same lie. Let us continue. One day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking at their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to him and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys grazing near them, when a raiding party from Sheba came and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword too, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another one came and said, "Fire from God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants. It completely destroyed them. And I am the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another one came and said, "The Kasdim, three bands of them fell on the camels and carried them off. And they put the servants to the sword too. And I'm the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another one came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And when suddenly a strong wind blew from over the desert, it struck the four corners of the house so that it fell on the young people. And they are all dead. And I'm the only one who escaped to tell you." There needs to be a pause here. That's why I'm pausing. Most people, right after hearing all this news, would completely go berserk. I've never been through any of those trials and tribulations. I've been through some. Last summer, my granddaughter was a stillborn. After she was birthed, I held her in my arms. I looked into her face. I'll continue here. Job got up and tore his coat. He shaved his head and he fell down on the ground and he worshiped. He didn't curse. What did the adversary say? If you do this, if you allow these things, he will what? He will curse you to your face. He worshiped. And let's hear his words. Want to hear his song? I won't sing this. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I return. Adonai gave, Adonai took. Blessed be the name of Adonai. That was his worship. Amen. And his wife didn't join in chorus with him. His servants didn't join in chorus with him. They looked at him and thought, this guy is completely nuts. Now let us turn to Job chapter 19. I know most of you read the book of Job. If you haven't, shame on you. Because you're robbing yourself of revelation from God. This is all one holy book. From Brigitte to Revelation, it is all one holy book. And one day, when we're walking in heaven, and those whose names have been written on these certain books, Nehemiah, Zechariah, etc., and they came up to you and they are going to ask, they're going to say, Frank, did you ever read the book that the Lord placed upon my heart? And tell me, Frank, how did that impact and how did that change your life? And how were you able to use the words that God spoke through me? Is this a miracle that this book even exists? Hasatan wants to destroy this thing so bad. He wants us to read other books. But this book stands as testimony of the promise of Yeshua. Chapter 19. Verse 25. After his friends coming up to him and saying, well, this is the reason why God allowed this in your life, because it's sin in your life. After they were done condemning him, he said these words, but I know my Redeemer lives, that in the end he will rise out on the dust. So after my skin has been thus destroyed, and then even without my flesh, I will see God, and I will see him for myself. Where did he get this revelation? He did not read Brigitte. Genesis. Job was a contemporary of Abraham. Nowhere in Scripture does it say they ever met. He received those stories from his father, Adam, that was passed down to the next generation. At the end of the day, when all the work was done, they sat around the campfires. And they related the stories, the promises of the one yet to come, the promised seed yet to come. Excellent. Even my own flesh, I will see God. He believed in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Of the dead. Can you imagine what your life would be if you only had this one book to read? Not the whole entire Bible, but the book of Job. Would you stop reading as I was compelled to do at chapter 1? And say, well, I don't want to serve this living God. Look how he repaid his servant that served him, loved him with all his heart, mind, and soul. The high priest of the household of Job. But I tell you, there are people in communist countries today that just have portions of this word. And it gives them life. I've heard testimony on testimony of people who've lived in China and former communist Russia, where they'd smuggle just portions of the scripture And they passed on one to another, one to another. How full their lives are because they're cleaving on to Yeshua, the hope of their salvation. You see, it's nothing has changed. That's why God wants us to go through His Word and to know it. And next time when you go home and you open up His Word, ask the Lord, open my eyes, open my ears. Because I know a lot of you have read that, sang that song, I Know My Redeemer Lives. Sung it many, many, many times. But what is the story behind it? Here it is. Let us continue. Even without my flesh, I will see God, and I will see Him for myself. My eyes, and not someone else's, will behold Him. And it goes on to say, my heart grows weak inside me. See, as Alberta shared earlier today and prayed, that she's praying that the Jewish people would see their salvation, see their Yeshua manifested. Just as He came into her home and manifested Himself. Because you know what? That was God's provision for Alberta. To literally see the Messiah. I know of another rabbi that God gave him a vision. He was from a Jewish background. And he was raised as a Jew. And I say that because I'm from a Jewish background, raised in a secular house. I went to synagogue by myself. But with this, God showed him a vision of someone being crucified upon a stake. He'd never read the New Testament before. 90% of all the people around him were all practicing Orthodox Jews. So the only way that he'd receive provision to know who the Messiah was through that vision. And you know what? It's amazing. When he saw that vision, he knew who was on that stake. He knew that was that Jesus. And later he gave his life to him. His father, after he heard about this, they sent him, they kidnapped him. And they tried to deprogram him. That's what God is doing today. Not deprogramming people. But what He's doing is that He's allowing Himself. You'll be hearing of testimony you probably already heard. There is a person dressed in white who's going throughout the Arabic Muslim nations. And He's revealing Himself. Because if you would go into any mosque, they have written in Arabic there, God has no son. And that is so ingrained into them. Just as the scriptures ingrained to us that Yeshua has to manifest Himself. Now let us turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 18 through 22. Line upon line, precept upon precept. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18. Children, let us not love with words and talk, but with actions and in reality. I'm sorry, I'm in 1 John. It's a good word right there. First Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Now I'm there. Thank you for your patience. Household servants, submit yourselves to your masters, showing them the full respect. That's not it either. I'm just going to read what I have written here out of this scripture. Yes, thank you. Yeshua revealed himself as a promised seed, our Yeshua, our salvation to the believers. The promised seed, Yeshua's salvation. This is whom that they were waiting for, their Redeemer. And he declared this, Yeshua's victory over death. Sin Hasatan, when Yeshua was raised from the dead, Yeshua defeated Sheol and to become the Savior of everyone who puts their faith in him. It spoke about Yeshua going down after he died into Sheol. Yeah, I was in 2:18. Okay. For the Messiah himself died for our sins once and for all, a righteous person on behalf of unrighteous people, so that he might bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but brought to life by the Ruach, the Spirit. And in this form, he went and made a proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those and also to those who were disobedient long ago, in the days of Noah, when God waited patiently during the building of the ark, in which few people, to be specific, eight, were delivered by means of water. This portion, thank you very much for your help. Isn't that great about the body of Messiah? When we make mistakes, you know what? I don't stand before you ashamed, because I'm in an imperfect vessel that's filled with the Spirit of the living God, and thank you for your help today. So in this portion, can you imagine this? Yeshua descends into Sheol, into Abraham's hearts, where all those men and women, both righteous Jews and Gentiles, who believed in the promise of the one yet to come, he appears before them. And I see Father Abraham rushing up to him, recognizing him, because he's the same one that came to him and spoke to him. Remember those three? It says angels. But one remained and told him what he was about to do. And he declared to him, next year, when I see you, this wasn't just a happenstance visitation, but next year when I see you, Sarah, will be with child. And you know what's amazing? This totally blew me away when I first read that. Here is a bodily manifestation of Yeshua. Speaking to whom? His grandfather, according to humans. And his grandmother, he catches laughing. And he doesn't condemn her, but what does he say? Hey, yeah, you were laughing. She says, no, I wasn't laughing. That's right. He says, yes, you were. That's his grandma. Have you got that before? Years I had read that. It blew right by me. And he was prophesying what? That a child was going to be given to her, Yitzhak, who was Yeshua's future grandfather, according to humans. And he also spoke to him about the promised seed, who was Yeshua speaking face to face to Avraham. So now when Yeshua descended into Sheol, into Avraham's heart, there were two compartments there. As I shared earlier, when we dealt about the rich man and Lazarus. Remember? That was 3 weeks ago, I think. Doesn't matter. But here he descended. And who greeted him at the opening of Abraham's heart? Father Abraham. He was protecting all those who believed in the promise of the one yet to come. Can you imagine that? He walks up to Abraham and to Sarah. And he greets them. His grandparents, who believed in the promise of him yet to be born.
What took you so long?
as a day in the Lord is 1,000 years.
Okay.
Isn't it amazing how he fills your mouth? So anyway, he not only greet his father, Abraham, and Sarah, but what about Job? And all the other righteous Gentiles, as the Lord's going to have me go from Brigitte through Revelation and bring in light, as I'm receiving light to his word. What happened then? Hasatan fled. And Yeshua came up and he walked up to them and he just said, "Here I am. Touch my hands and my feet." That's what he did. He came right up to him. And he said, "Here am I, the one that you believed in, the one of promise. It is I. Here I am. Here I am, brother." That's what he said. "Here I am, sister. This is who I am." And you know what happened then? Worship began. In Sheol, in Abraham's heart, in his bosom. That's what happened there. Rejoicing in all the heavens. That's what took place. Ellen told me that we're going to get a mic like this one of these days, and I can move around a little bit. I can leave all my notes. I can leave the Bible alone because God fills our mouth. Praise be to his name. To his name be exalted and glorified in all things. Praise the Lord. That's right, wandering Jews. Thank you, Rabbi. That's right. That is a plant. And may we all be fruitful and multiply.
Amen.
Amen. Can you imagine that? Seeing him face to face. You know, in the book of Messianic Jews, it says that they were persecuted. They were sawed, like Isaiah was sawed in half in a log. And yet now they saw their Redeemer. The hope. You know, we sing the Shema every year, every day. I mean, every Shabbat, don't we? Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one in purpose, plan. But he's being manifested in different personalities. God the Father, God the Son, Yeshua, and God the Ruach. Praise be to his name. And that's the message we got to share with people. Yeshua, I believe this, if we begin to pray that God would open up our eyes, that we would see Yeshua manifest himself to us during the week and the holy angels. Wouldn't that be beautiful that would be a commonplace? Because just as that sister, she said Yeshua was standing here something like this or like this, I can't remember. And here was our present. He was transparent. And behind him was eternity. Our father Abraham was looking for a city not built by human hands. Don't get so locked up on all the stuff you own on this earth. It's all going to burn. It's Yeshua and him alone. And how many people that you can help be inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lord says, "End right here." Okay, I will. End right here. But he just wanted to have me just share this one little tiny little bit here. Read in the book of Matthew when you get home. That is the book of Matthew. And I should be able to find it here. And what it speaks of there is as when Yeshua died, it says that righteous believers came out of the grave and they walked in Jerusalem. So the time of his death, he brought life. And it says that when he went down to Sheol there, to Abraham's heart, he took up those who were captive to be with him forevermore. And that's why I tell you that when I held my child, my Ottoman, in my arms last summer, and I looked at her, I knew at the moment of her death, she got to see Yeshua. I'll tell you this, when she was growing in my daughter-in-law's womb, I was praying and interceding for her, that she would know the Ruach. I have another child up there, Jackie and I, named Aaron, that's up there, and another one named Jeremiah that's up there. You know what? When Ottoman went up there, she had two older relatives up there waiting for her.
That's right.
And also Father Avraham and Sarai. They were there. And that's when I laid and I performed the funeral and I shared with the grieving families that were there. I shared with them, I know that my Redeemer lives.
Yeah.
And that she is now sitting in Yeshua's lap in heaven.
Wow. Glory.
That's reality. It's not just stories in a book.
Amen.
It's real. It's more real than what we see.
Amen.
The supernatural is more real than what we see.
Glory.
Praise be to God's name. I'd ask Rabbi to close our service. How's it? Tim's already left.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Rabbi.